Hope you're all doing well. At the end of 2019, well, you remember year when the years changed from 19 whatever to 20, people always struggled and they were talking about 19-2000, you know. So yeah, at the end of 2019, I really hope that you have a blessed new year coming for all of you. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for a beautiful time where we could just stand before you this morning in worship and praise. Lord, just praising you through the songs that we sang this morning, the prayers we offered to you, the dedication of this little one this morning, the finances that we can sow back into your work. Lord, all of these are acts of worship as we stand before you. Lord, as we come before your word this morning, may we continue to worship you as we hear and obey your word. Not just during our time here, where we sometimes get so excited about your word, and when we get back home, Lord, we tend to so easily forget this worship to you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come into each one of our lives this morning, and that the seeds that bring from your word as you speak to us, that those seeds will grow and bear fruit in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A while ago, I sat one evening scrolling through movies, I don't know if it was on Netflix or something, and I came across this movie called A Star Is Born. It's a great movie, language not so great, so if you can't stomach that and if your ears ring too much, I won't recommend that you watch it, but it was a fascinating story, a fascinating movie. And this movie is about a well-established musician called Jackson Maine, who had major issues in his own life, dealing with personal challenges, almost kind of these demons that kept on haunting him from the past. And in this movie, you see that Jackson really didn't know how to cope with these issues, and he gave himself over to alcohol and to drugs, and that was how he survived. Despite the fact that he was super successful as a musician, he couldn't cope with his day-to-day life. One night after a show, having had too much to drink, he ended up in this pub. I don't think he expected to get into this pub, but it was a pub full of transvestites who were singing, and he met this young girl who wanted to be, her whole life dream was to be a professional artist, singer. And she did the show that evening in this pub, and her name was Ali. And Jackson met this girl there in this pub, and he fell in love with this girl. And they started moving together. And Jackson saw the potential in this young girl, and at one of his shows, he created a platform for her to come on stage with him and to come and sing with him. See, she always wanted to be a singer but never got as far because there was always some kind of issues with the people that she presented herself to, whether it was her looks or a nose that was too big or whatever, but they never saw the talent in this young girl. And she got on stage with Jackson and she sang with him and her career just took off from there. But Jackson continued to battle through life. You see, he came from a home where, if I remember correctly, he lost age. His dad was quite old already at this stage. I think there was quite a big gap between him and his older brother. And his dad just never acknowledged him. He was just kind of there in the background. And Jackson battled with this whole thing of being accepted, not knowing who he was. And he went as far as to try and commit suicide, I think, when he was 13 years old. in the garage, he tried to hang himself on one of these ceiling fans or something. And it ended up in a total disaster. Didn't manage to get it right. And even after that, his dad just didn't acknowledge him. So Jackson was going through his whole life as a successful person, always battling with acceptance, trying to find out who he was, where he belongs. And in his whole life, throughout this movie, you could see that these demons from the past were the things that pushed him to make decisions, the things that that every time that he had to make decisions, it was these things that stood in the way. They were these stumbling blocks that he just didn't get over. And his girlfriend just went from better to better to better and became the new sensation in the music world. At the same time, Jackson, that he was going deaf as a musician, probably not the best thing that you would want in your career. And with all his drinking and trying to struggle, his career almost ended in a place where he made an absolute spectacle of himself at an award ceremony where Ali got a Grammy Award or something. And he ended up in a rehab center. And even after this rehab, realizing what a spectacle he made of his life, it pushed him over that tipping point and he committed suicide, this time successful. Friends, and I sometimes wonder with us in our own walk with Jesus. When I looked at this life of Jackson Maine in this movie, how many times do we live our walk with Jesus in the same way? That we allow maybe some of the things of our past to dictate and determine how we live our lives for Jesus. For Jackson, he had this walking stick in some sense of alcohol and drugs, and maybe the high of a good show, and all of these things. And he through life crippled, never able to really walk through life and see who he really was and how successful he was. How many times in our own walk with Jesus do we walk in the same way? Where we allow stupid things from our past to determine our minds and our actions as we walk with Jesus. And I'm asking this question to myself as well today, because I'm not without fault. And I know that when I started preparing for this sermon, I realized that I do that as well many times. Because on the one side, we realize who we are in the eyes of Jesus. But on the other side, we allow all these other things to sometimes get the upper hand and push us in ways that we don't want to be pushed. Instead of going back to say, Jesus, who do you say I am? What is it that you have done for me? Who am I in Christ? We allow all these other things to determine our lives daily. What are we going to take into 2020? Into 2020. I'm sure many of you have already started making your little lists of things that you want to accomplish and achieve. I've given up on those things. I'm not a good finisher. I like starting new things. So I've given up on those lists because they just never realize. And that's one of my shortcomings. I just don't finish well. But anyway, I want to ask you the question this morning. What are you going to take into 2020? Are you going to take those things from your past to govern your life and to determine how you're going to live your life in 2020? Or are you going to allow Jesus and the truth that he speaks about you to be the determining factor of how you're going to live your life? Paul comes in Galatians when he writes to this young church, and he starts the letter to Galatians with a few words. You're not going to find it up here. I said to the team in the back there, I have given them off today, so you won't find the text here. It's a short few verses right there in the beginning of Galatians chapter 1 from verse 3 to 5. We'll see that Paul mentions two crucial things, foundational things for us. If we want to live our lives standing in the presence of God, these two things are super important. And when we read through this, we will realize that these two things are things that God Himself gives us. It's nothing that we deserve, but these are things that God gives us in Christ Jesus. And He writes the following in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. And I'm only going to read those three verses to us. And you will all know this by heart. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God, our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well-known verses. I'm going to read it to us again. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Those demons from our past that haunt us. According to the will of God and our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. There's two things here. So let's not start this year complicated with lots of two simple things all of us will remember as we go into this year. And it's these two things that God gives us this morning. The first thing is grace. And the second thing is peace. Friends, if we have these two things in our lives, and if this grace and peace comes from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will stay standing in 2020 if we make this truth in our lives. Let us unpack this a little bit. The first thing, grace. What is grace? What does grace mean? And I know all of us know this because this is a word that we use all the time. But one commentator unpacks it like this, and he says, in the bigger context of the word grace, it means unmerited and undeserved favor. Unmerited and undeserved favor. That's what God comes and gives us here at the end of 2019, in the beginning of 2020. None of us deserve anything from God. But He comes to us and He says to us, I'm you. Whether there's any merit in your life or not, I'm giving this to you, unmerited and undeserved favor that comes from me to you. This word also means kindness and acceptance. Something that Jackson Maine in his life never experienced. Kindness and acceptance. And we get it this morning, not from our earthly fathers, but from our heavenly Father who comes to us and say, I accept you because of what my Son has done for you. I'm kind to you. I give you a new life because of what my Son has given to you. And the other word that they connect with grace is overflowing favor. Isn't that beautiful? When God's grace comes to us, it's not just almost just meeting what we need. It's overflowing. It's more than what you and I bargained for. More than what we need. When God's grace comes to you and I this morning as we look at 2020. In the Message paraphrase, in Romans 5 verse 18 to 19, he says it like this, and I'm going to read it to you. Romans 5 verse 18 to 19. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got all of us in this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. That is that overflowing grace. He didn't just get us out of trouble, he says, but he got us into life. One man said no to God and put many people in the wrong, but one man said yes to God and put many in the right. All that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers. But sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. Isn't that beautiful? Aggressive forgiveness. Friends, this is the God that we serve. A God that pursues us almost in an aggressive way so that you and I can stand in a good relationship with him. Aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down, he says. All sin can do is threat, and that's the end of it. Grace, because God is putting everything together again through the Messiah, invites us into this life. A life that goes on and on and on. World without end. Isn't that a beautiful paraphrase of God's amazing grace for you and I? Friends, in this word grace, what God comes and says to us this morning is that we do not deserve this. There's nothing in our lives that we can do and need to do to earn that salvation and that grace from him or that recognition. He gives it to us. He gives it to us because of his son, because of what Jesus has done on the cross for you and I. We do not deserve it. And we can never be in a place where we can say, God, here's my bit to deserve this grace. We have to stop that kind of life where we constantly try to please God because we will never, ever be able to do that. Typical to this life of Jackson Maine, always trying to do things to get favor from other people and never achieving it. Suicide and death at the end. For many of us believers, our life trying so hard to please God, to earn his forgiveness, many times push us into a life that ends in death because we can never, never earn that grace from God. Friends, every morning when we wake up and we go stand in front of the mirror, that man or that woman in the mirror is evidence and speaks loud to us about all these things where we fall short, isn't it? Every morning we are confronted with that. But we have a choice in our lives. Whether we're going to allow this man in the mirror to be the one who determines how we live our lives, or whether we're going to allow God our Father in Jesus Christ and his truth to be the determining factor of how we live our lives. This morning we can take these few words from Paul to the Galatian church as truth. When God comes to us and he says to us, my grace belongs to you. I will it, I want it, and I've gained that grace for you through what Jesus my son has done on the cross for us. He gives it to us this morning without us having to work for that. The second thing that Paul mentions here as he writes to this church is peace. And this peace, the Hebrew word for that peace is the word shalom, which is a word that means so much more than what many times sits in our minds when we think of peace. It is the word shalom. Friends, and what the Bible teaches us is that only when we stand in a right relationship with God our Father, we will be able to experience this peace, this shalom that the Bible speaks of. And it's great. Paul starts with that. Paul is saying to us, you are standing righteous before God the Father. You don't have to doubt that. You didn't do it. You didn't accomplish it. Your shortcomings is not at play here. But you got it because of the perfect price that Jesus Christ paid for you. Friends, so this morning we can experience God shalom. What does this word mean? One commentator says it includes the notions of totality and completeness, success, fulfillment, wholeness, harmony, security, and well-being. And I think those words can go on and on and on. And he continues to say that when God says to us that we have his peace, his shalom, he comes and presents to us that picture of his creation before the fall of man. That when God says to us, this is what I want for you, this peace that I want for you is like that first creation before the fall of man, where everything was perfect. This is what God gives to us as we stand looking at 2020. Let me unpack this word a little bit more. We experience this peace with God in different areas in our lives. The first, of course, is that we experience peace with God Himself. We experience this because we have been justified by faith. We have been justified because of what Jesus has done for us. Therefore, in our relationship with God the Father, we are standing before Him, white as snow, dressed in white, pure. Because when He looks at us, He sees what His Son has done for us. There's one thing that hinders that relationship between us and God sometimes, and that is when sin creeps into our lives. And then we end up being like Adam, after they sinned against God, that they went and hide from God in the garden, in the bushes. And so many times in our lives, despite the fact that God has given us grace and freedom, we live our lives hiding in the bushes. Because there's these things that we tolerate and that we like to tolerate in our own lives. And we forget that Jesus came and died for all of that on the cross. There's a beautiful thing in the Old Testament. It's called a peace offering. The word that is used is shelamim. It comes from the word shalom. Shelamim. It's a peace offering, and it worked like this. Whenever someone had sin in their lives, they could come before God, bring a sacrificial animal to be slaughtered before God to take the sins away. But in this peace offering, there was a special part where the person that came and brought the offering receives back some of this animal that was sacrificed to God. He received back some part of this animal to eat and to celebrate the forgiveness that was given to him. To eat the flesh and the blood of this animal that was sacrificed for him. And when I read that, I got goosebumps, thinking that how many times we stand as a church around the communion table, and Jesus comes and he reminds us, eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of me. Eat my flesh and drink my blood in remembrance of me. And celebrate because your sins have been forgiven. Friends, when we experience the shalom of God, the peace of God, we can know that you and I live in total peace with our Creator. This peace are the areas in our lives. When we experience this peace of God, we also experience peace with one another. Isn't that beautiful? God is not only just concerned about our relationship with Him, He's also concerned with our relationship with one another. This peace, shalom, means when there's peace between two parties. When there's peace between two parties. And friends, I ask you, as we go into 2020, you have the grace and the peace of God. If there's relationships, if there are relationships in your life or in your lives that are not right, where you're not experiencing the shalom of God, go and make that right. Because God enables you through His grace and His peace to do that. In the Bible times, this peace was also experienced when there was an end to hostility and war. And it was very tangible for people in the Bible times, when they could go back to their own city and they could experience living in peacefulness in their city without being afraid of a siege or an upcoming war. Friends, we can live our lives peace. And friends, we know here in South Africa, things are not always great. We have lots of challenges with crimes and burglary and all sorts of other things that we experience around us. How many times do we allow these things to rob the peace that God has given to us? When I prepared this in this week, I had to say to God, God, forgive me. Because all that I need, the only peace that I need in my life, is to live in peace with you. Give me that peace, so that when I go and sleep in the night, that I will experience your peace. That I will experience your peace. The other part where this peace is experienced in our relationship with others is when there's social justice. Listen to this. When there's social justice. In South Africa, in 2020, we have a lot of work to do in this area. As believers who live in God's shalom, in God's peace, it is our responsibility to make sure that in relationships with others, there is social justice. Jeremiah writes it like this, and he insists in Jeremiah 6, verse 1 to 9 and 14, and again in chapter 8, he insists that unless there is an end to oppression and greed and violence in social relationships, there can be no shalom. Friends, we are agents of God's peace. We are agents of God's peace. Let that overflow from our lives in 2020. So it's peace with God, peace with others, and then the last part is peace with ourselves. Peace with ourselves, that part that Jackson Maine in that movie couldn't cope with. Peace with ourselves. The psalmist writes in Psalm 4 verse 8, and he says, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. For you alone make me dwell in safety." Further in Isaiah 26, Isaiah comes and he says, God gives us perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Double portion of His God gives us to those who steadfastly set their minds on Him. He says it like this, "You will keep in shalom, shalom, perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." And Isaiah 32, verse 17 to 18, "The fruit of that righteousness, that grace that you and I receive, the fruit of that will be peace. And its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peace, dwell in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Friends, that speaks to me of a person who lives at peace, knowing who we are and where the source of life is, who that is in our lives. I want to close off this morning. I want to ask you this morning just to take a few moments and speak to the Lord. You know who you encountered this morning when you stood in front of the mirror. You know what those challenges are facing you daily. You know what they are. And I want to give you a few moments this morning to go to God and say, God, in the context of your grace and your peace, I know where these things belong. They are washed away. They're no longer there because of you. So let us take a few moments just to speak to the Lord and allow His grace and His peace to flow into our lives. And then I want to close off this morning with that wonderful blessing in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 to 27, God's blessing for each one of us as we go into 2020. So let's just take a few moments to be quiet before the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. My children, you and I, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, so that they will put my name, so I'll put my name on the Israelites, on us. God puts his name on us this morning, and he says, I will bless them. Lord, thank you for this amazing blessing this morning of your grace and your peace that belongs to us. May these two things be the things that we stand on in our lives as we look forward to 2020. May our lives be evident of your grace and your peace. And may we be ambassadors of that to those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, if you need someone to pray with you this morning and you're struggling with God's peace and God's grace, There are people in the back. Benny's standing there. There's others that can pray with you this morning. But do not miss the opportunity to go out here this morning.